Thank you, Mr. Holliday, and good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here with all of you on this beautiful Sabbath. I'd also like to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. My mom, hi, Mom. You're a blessing to all of us. It's really, really special to celebrate. Well, about 11 years ago, there was an ad campaign on TV that caught my attention. Now, most commercials, you know, are easy to tune out. You reach for the mute button on the remote. But this one really grabbed my attention. I felt was pretty compelling. The soundtrack to this commercial featured a driving, pounding, pulsating drumbeat. The ad was filled with clips of athletes struggling, fighting through the pain and fatigue, sweat dripping, exertion, yelling. In some of the clips, they were training alone. In others, a coach or teammates were alongside them as they pushed through their workout. And as these athletes faced their fatigue and exhaustion, as they got back up after another failed attempt, as they collected themselves again, each clip ended with the same phrase, sometimes written, but usually spoken. One more. One more. It really is a very simple message, but I'm the kind of person that fits their target audience. And so I get inspired by these types of messages where, you know, get out of my way, nothing's going to stop me, I'm going to run through a brick wall. So I'm on my couch, and this commercial shows up in the middle of a Bengals game, and I'm ready to just jump up and run out in my yard and do one more of something. Now, I've never forgotten this ad campaign. I did forget who the advertiser was, though. I had to go look this up, so I didn't end up buying more of their product. It was Gatorade. I thought it was a shoe company for sure, but it was not. So congratulations to the marketing team for a great message, but sorry to the sales team. Every one of us could build a similar commercial with clips from our own lives, times when we've really struggled, when we're pushed to the point of exhaustion, or when we continue to fall short of the standard or a personal goal. In some of those mental clips, we're alone, and we have had to pump ourselves back up. And in others, our brethren, our families, our peers have been alongside us to encourage us. And this is a universal thing that starts from a very early age. You don't have to be very old to build this record of struggle and failure and trying again. You know, we've heard it said pretty frequently. Life, nobody promised life would be easy. And it's true. Adversity is baked into the process. But rather than becoming discouraged by this, let's flip this truism on its head. If adversity is present, if challenges are in front of us, how do we respond? We respond with perseverance. Perseverance. It's the decision or determination to keep going despite obstacles. Will you keep going? Will you push through life with drive and purpose? So this afternoon, let's explore this theme of perseverance. We'll actually find that this Gatorade commercial is not a unique message. The Bible is filled with passages that encourage us to push forward, to do one more. We'll choose just a few scriptures today, but I want us to take all these passages to heart, to use them as fuel to push ourselves through whatever we're going through. So let's start by looking at 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And here the Apostle Paul is encouraging this congregation that's being challenged and attacked. And so if this passage were the commercial, Paul would be the coach telling his players, one more. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In prior verses in this chapter, Paul had talked about, as the heading says in my New King James Bible, the great apostasy. The great apostasy, a gigantic challenge. I mean, any of you ready to take on a great apostasy? Yet Paul writes to them and encourages them with his words. And what's amazing about this passage is you entirely have permission to insert yourself there as the recipient of this message. God from the beginning chose you for salvation. He called you by the gospel. He called you to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. just like that commercial, this scriptural ad campaign is talking to you. You were chosen, picked out of this world, to receive God's truth now and an opportunity for a better resurrection. And you do not stand alone. You walk before the same God who created everything, the world, the universe. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we read about, that same God. We have a whole book full of his works and our own lifetimes full of examples that we can add to it and those stories that we can share with each other. So our great God wants you personally to persevere. When God says through the Apostle Paul here to stand fast, he's saying, one more, one more. He wants to see us push through the pain so we can be part of his eternal spiritual family. As it says in Matthew 7:14, you don't need to turn there. Matthew 7:14 says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. But you can be one of those few. Adversity is part of the process. But with God leading the way, you can triumph over it. Just keep going. Just do one more. Let's turn now over to another one. This one we often read at Passover time and during the Passover service. So turn with me to John 16. John 16, verse 33. Now this whole passage is obviously incredibly inspiring. It's Jesus Christ giving a steady stream of his thoughts, his motivations, his plan. This whole thing is a one more message. And again, we're allowed to inject ourselves there as the recipients directly of this message. Take some time this week, if you will, to read through chapters 14 and 16 through 16. And every time Jesus says, you, really envision yourself. You are who he's talking to. I'll just quote a few examples here from these chapters. You don't have to turn to. In John 14, 27, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's talking to you. In 15:2, he says, every branch that bears fruit, he, God the Father, prunes that it may bear more fruit. That's also you. Pruning is a painful process, but God is in control. In 15:19, he says, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. But then in 16, verse 1, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. These aren't intended to discourage, but rather encourage. And then in John 16, 33, in the final verse of this passage, that capstone sentence, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Every year when we read this at the Passover service, I get so fired up. You know, you're not allowed to make a bunch of noise during Passover, but inside I'm just going, yes. I know I'm not alone in this because we're called to follow in Jesus Christ's footsteps. We're to walk exactly as he walked. And right here it says, if you do that, if I do that, we can overcome the world just like he did. In the world, we definitely have tribulation. We definitely have pain and trouble and difficulty. We are constantly having to do things that we don't want to do. But it's necessary for us to become strong. It's necessary for us to train for our future. So don't be like me on the couch watching the commercial. Get out there and do it yourself. Face the difficult world with confidence. Take your challenges head on. Because here, Jesus Christ is telling us, right here, one more. I did it, you can do it. One more. Now finally, let's take a look at our future. For that, we'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read what Paul says about the resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll pick it up in verse 50. You know, one of the greatest consolations we receive as we follow in Jesus' footsteps is that this life is not all there is. Situations we live in, the bodies we inhabit, they're all temporary. It can be so difficult to endure day after day. Some of us in this room are in situations that may not resolve in this lifetime. And it's so easy to become discouraged by that, to disconnect from God, to withdraw, to mentally give up. But here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives us words of wisdom and encouragement. He shows us how to reset our perspective and show us how to push through when it's really, really tough. So in verse 50, he says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." So right here we see that if we're to be in the kingdom of God, we cannot take these physical bodies and lives with us. None of us can. And so all those limitations that go along with physical life, all those struggles will stop at that point. Jesus told us to seek this kingdom first with our mentality, with how we live our lives. We must be oriented toward getting there. And so we see that part of the reward for getting there is the ability to leave all this behind. He continues in verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Spend some time with this thought. Really mull it over. This is a promise from God. These aren't just the words of the Apostle Paul. It's not just his opinion. He's recounting everything that God has said throughout his entire word. The trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised. We shall be changed. It's a guarantee. It's in our future. And it's in a moment. The troubles we face here will be instantly gone. No long, drawn-out process. There's no paperwork to fill out. You don't have to sit on hold for a while. Nobody getting back to you in 6 weeks. It just is over. Continuing on in verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Whose victory? Our victory. Jesus Christ's victory. God's victory. Think about that word. Victory is a final outcome. Game over. The struggle has ended. It does not continue. There's a winner and a loser. Death and corruption and trials and tribulations and loss and dysfunction, those are all losers. The God family, including you and me, are all winners. And we'll be reunited with those that we have lost over the years. Some of us have endured terrible loss. This next verse is one of my favorites. We sometimes read this at funerals. Verse 55, it says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Now again, you're not supposed to make a lot of noise at funerals, but this verse gets me fired up. There's a lot of pain at funerals. Sometimes we're the ones in pain from the loss. Sometimes we're there to comfort others through their loss. When we wish that pain could be taken away, it will, right here. We press on toward God's kingdom. We don't stop. Verse 56 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I would encourage all of you to read Revelation 21 to go along with this message. We don't have time to explore it today, but it keeps this thought going. No more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. God dwelling with us directly. And then here Paul concludes in verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Brethren, it's been thought that we're at the time of the end for decades, yet the world keeps turning. It keeps getting worse. Our personal trials continue, and we don't know when it will end. So to get through this, we need to endure. We need staying power, and we need perseverance, a mindset that we will keep going, no matter what. So keep saying one more. One more day of pushing through the challenges we face, no matter our age, no matter where we are. One more week of fighting off the challenges and trials and tests the world has to offer as we push toward the next Sabbath rest. One more time accepting God's hand back up when we fall. One more tight pay period. One more round of treatment. One more time through the Bible. One more time helping someone who can't help themselves. One more holy day season, picturing the perfect plan of God. One more day reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. One more.